Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Perhaps, like many parents, you're hoping that your kids might use this time to do some reading, or they've been assigned free reading time for school and you're not sure what to select. Here to help with a few selections is Juanita Giles. She writes a children's book column for NPR, and she's the founder and director of the Virginia Children's Book Festival. Juanita, welcome.
Thank you, Tanya. Pleasure to be here.
So you've been thinking a lot about a book that's been read and loved by many children over the past century or so. It was near and dear to my heart when I was a kid. And that's Laura Ingalls Wilder's The Long Winter. Why?
Well, really, any sense of isolation brings that book straight back to me. The story of Laura and her family being together all the time, every minute of the day, struggling with survival and distance from everyone that they knew, it really resounded with me in this particular instance. You know, we all wonder if we're going to run out of something, and they ran out of everything. So I couldn't help but go to that book immediately.
But there are also some parts of the book that you want to caution folks that may not have aged well, that parents, in talking with their children, might want to kind of explore a little bit more.
Yes, I do that with my own children. We do read the Little House books together, and I am of Native American heritage myself. So I caution my children that, you know, ideas about Native Americans when they took place in the 1870s are vastly different from what they are today. But they are quite reflective of the attitude at that time. But we can certainly use those as the teachable moments.
Absolutely. Let's take a look at some of the other book selections on your list. And just the title of this first one makes me think that we should all read it. It's called The Don't Worry Book by Todd Parr, and it's for kids 3 to 6 years old. Tell us about it.
Well, you could read Todd Parr at any moment of your life. There's hardly anyone who understands children better than Todd Parr. We love Todd Parr so much. And the Don't Worry Book, it takes different situations in which a child might be worried, whether it's at school or in the dark or when you are alone or with other people. There's so many different ways for kids to worry. And Todd really, he's so comforting. His books are such a comforting presence. And at the end of every book, he writes a little note and he says at the end, you know, if worrying doesn't help you, if you're worried, talk to someone you love about it and you'll feel better. The end, love, Todd. And it just feels like such a big hug. And kids are worried these days and they may not even know what they're worried about. Some parents share all the information with their children and some don't. But even if your kids are feeling a little unnerved, even, it could be the Don't Be Unnerved book.
You have a number of books for older readers as well, including The Witches by Roald Dahl. He's the author of many kids' favorites, including Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. But you know what? His books can also be kind of scary at times. And this one is about a world where witches really exist and they hate children.
Yes. And so right now, actually, my husband is reading that to my 7-year-old and my 6-year-old daughter. He read it to my son a couple years ago. And they actually are not afraid. The thing about that book is that Roald Dahl actually sets it up so the children who are hearing the story or reading the story sort of guess what's happening next. He never really leaves a huge cliffhanger for the children to be scared of. It's almost humorous the way they guess what happens. And his descriptions are so funny that there's so much humor in there that it's hard to spend the whole time being scared. And it's a really good way. This is something I wanted to say, is that this is a wonderful time for parents to share their favorite books with their kids and to bring some quality time in at the end of the day. That's something that I have found with my children being home and we're teaching them. We think that we're giving them so much time, and we are physically giving them so much time, but it's not the same quality of time that the children want from us. So at the end of the day, the children want to be connected in a different way than they've been connected during school time or anything like that. And to see my husband reading this book with my 2 girls, they're just so involved and so excited, and it's just wonderful to see them like that at the end of the day.
That's a really good distinction to make, because all of us now are playing teacher in the mornings, gym coach in the afternoons, the wrangler for dinner time at night, and then it's off to bed. But if you have that moment where it's really the one-on-one time where you're enjoying a book together, that could be a wonderful way to do that. There's also a classic on your list, Sterling North's Rascal, which was published back in 1963. He wrote about his childhood in Wisconsin. How do you think today's kids can relate to that?
Actually, I think this is sort of the perfect time for them to relate to it. I had tried to read it to my son a couple years ago, and he wasn't incredibly interested. But now that he is at home all the time, Sterling North's character in the book is at home alone with his father, and that's the important part of his life. And so he makes a friend of this baby raccoon that he rescues, and it's really about, you know, what you do when you are sort of alone. You know, his older brother is off at war, and it's just him and his father. So there's a bit of isolation there. And I will say it's given my son the idea to build a canoe in our living room, which I'm not sure I'm ready for that to happen. But I'll say that right now, if you want to share a classic with your children, this is really a wonderful time. And he's really taking it a very different way than he did a couple of years ago.
Mm. Let's talk about another memoir, Jacqueline Woodson's Brown Girl Dreaming, which was a National Book Award winner back in 2014. She uses poetry to tell the story of growing up as a Black American in the 1960s and 70s. Do you think kids who might automatically say, I don't really read poetry, want to read this book?
I think that they will find that the poetry adds to the music of the story. That's what's really so beautiful about Brown Girl Dreaming, besides the fact that as an adult, somehow Jacqueline Woodson is able to bring us back to the uncertainty of childhood. And I feel like that's really important right now as well. Reading that book with your children can help you identify with them in a different way. You know, describing her own childhood and feeling out of place, not knowing where home was, all of those worries that she had when she was young, she brings those forward in such a beautiful way. And I don't think, especially if it might be nice to read it after a little Shel Silverstein, because that's poetry too. Because it just, the meter, the music of it, it's not an impediment whatsoever.
And we have one more memoir to talk about. This one is a graphic novel by Robin Ha called Almost American Girl. What about this book appeals to you?
Well, one of the things that appeals to me about this graphic novel specifically is that I find it very difficult to read most graphic novels aloud. And my children always ask me to, and I'm just, I stumble. I don't really know how to make it through a graphic novel reading it aloud. But this particular graphic novel is very rich in text, and it can read like a regular novel. And what appeals to me also about this is it's also the struggle of, you know, a girl, a teenage girl, as she founders through her identity and has to leave friends behind and discover herself. And a lot of those things also are things I think kids may be feeling but not able to say. I can't imagine being a middle schooler or high schooler and being away from my friends who helped give me that identity. It must be a very difficult time for that age group. And so I feel like this book will really bring them a sense of comfort and familiarity with what they're going through themselves. And it's very readable.
And you know what I'm thinking about, what you're talking about and saying that we should be reading together as family members, the parents along with the children. And that goes for older children too. So a young teenager or tween who's reading Almost American Girl, perhaps it's a way to talk about feelings and emotions about this time if we're all reading it together.
Absolutely. And the parent doesn't necessarily have to be the one reading. It's really important to let these kids pick the books that they would want to read to you and want you to know about. I know that my children do that all the time. They have things that are important to them that they want to read to me. And it's as important to be the listener as it is to be the reader. But we can do it together. And it really will open up some doors for us to talk about things that maybe we don't know how to express. And when we're home together all the time, we really need to learn how to express those things. Or who knows what could happen.
Isn't that the truth? I know. That's Juanita Giles, founder and executive director of the Virginia Children's Book Festival. We'll have the entire list of her book suggestions at hereandnow.org. Juanita, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. You have a good day.